it's not too often that we bring messages that goes along with the season or the day or whatever you want to call it. But today I'd like each one of you to, if you will, turn to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. And listen to this. This is what's referred to as Palm Sunday, that Christ was coming into the city and the whole city turned out basically expecting and looking for one thing but receiving something totally different. And that's why they came with such praise and honor. They was looking for a deliverer, but they was looking for that one that would come and set up his kingdom and be their ruler there on earth and deliver them from the Romans. But Christ was coming to deliver them of something that was far more than the bondage that they was in to Rome. He was coming to deliver them from that bondage of sin. And because Christ was not coming the way that they wanted him to come, they ended up rejecting him. Because he was not doing what they wanted, they ended up rejecting him. And as it was said in Sunday school already, probably the biggest majority of this crowd that was there as he was coming in this day was there just a week later as he was being walked out of the city, and they was crying for him to be crucified. So if you'd like to read with us in the 11th chapter of St. Mark, starting with the 7th verse, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strew them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And blessed be the King of our father David. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and went, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, then dropped down to the 15th verse. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Then if you'll go down to the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, and I have... And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, here Christ, as he came in, he went right to the temple and went in and began to look around at the things that was in the temple and then left. But then when he come back the next time, he went into the temple and he began to drive them out that was there. And you'll find the very reason that the whole city about it turned against Christ in such a short time, in just a week's time, but because of what that he did in the very temple and in what was supposed to be the house of God. He went in and he began to tell them, the way that you're doing things is not right. It's not pleasing unto God. If this is supposed to be a house of prayer, he went back and said about the scripture, haven't you read it? It's supposed to be a house of prayer, and you made it a
Today, all across our country, you'll find churches going about in every form of the fashion, trying to raise money to build bigger and greater churches. But what they need to do is to come and preach the word of God and to teach people that we owe our God unto God, and we come and pay what we owe unto God. The church will lack for nothing, but nobody wants to say nothing. Why, if I make somebody mad, if I upset someone, it'll cause them to leave the church. But you and I were not in church to worship God and to serve God.
We're wasting our time in the very thing that separated people back in that day and time from the Son of God will also separate people today that's in church. If God's Word was preached plain the way that it is, and sin was called sin the way that the Bible says it, you'd find the biggest majority of the people that goes to church each and every Sunday in America would want to be going somewhere else. Why? Because it would make them feel uncomfortable. That was the very thing here that was upsetting the leaders of the church. They saw what Christ was saying. It was going to destroy the very livelihood that they had there in the church. Today across America, there's all kinds of preachers. They're afraid to preach from the pulpit. It's all sin, sin, because they'll have people that will leave their church, and then they won't be able to afford to pay me the salary that I need to live the way I'm accustomed to live. But what we need to think about is how their soul living before God. What condition is the soul in? What condition of the soul in? Of those that sat there in the congregation. Have we been reading of what the Word of God said? Are they growing in the Scripture? Or are they being sat there and given a lie to make them feel good? Then they mock each other and put money in the offering plate. You and I today, if our hearts really right with God, we can come to feed upon the spiritual things. Not worry about what men might think. You know, Christ, He knew if things was done right, that the important things was serving God in spirit and in truth. And everything else would take care of itself. And here, as He was speaking to the leaders of the church, when they had questioned Him, and they was afraid because of the people had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And they realized that was a great miracle. And even these priests and the leaders of the church, they knew that was something they couldn't answer to, because it had to come from God. If they had been men of God, if they had truly known God, they would have known the Son of God when He came. Why? Because the Scripture spoke about it. It had it all laid out exactly how that He had come. It made it plain to them exactly what it was. They were walking down, but they were blinded to it. Why? Because they never took the time to try and understand what the Word was saying unto her. And then Christ said, have you not read this Scripture? The stone which the builder rejected, it becomes the head of the corner. Here Christ was saying, I am that stone, and the Bible spoke to me. Here you are supposed to be the builder of the church, and you rejected me. But God's got a plan for me. I will be the one that the church is founded upon. I rejected the church the way you want to build it, and it must be built the way that I want it to be. Today you and I, God rejected every form of worship today. Why? Because He said, I must be worshipped. And we denied the very things of the Spirit. You know, as I heard that a comment was made by a woman, it said something to the effect that they didn't see the need for shouting and being emotional like that. They had grew beyond that. You and I don't grow beyond that. If we turn from that, we begin to shrivel up and die. We grow into a spiritual walk with God to where our cup can overflow. And we can shout the praises of God. It is a spiritual walk with God. He said that we would be filled with the Spirit. You and I today, it's something that God still wants. He wants people that's acquainted with His Spirit. The worship is in spirit and in truth. And if we're denied those things, then we left God totally out of the picture. We just got a form of worship, but we're not worshiping the true and living God. We might say, for those that wants to be called by the name of God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to realize that the world, if we live according to the Bible, is not going to love us. You know, I'm always shocked and amazed when people will look at somebody that's preaching the Word of God just the way that it is. And if they don't have a church that's just busting at the seams, they act like, well, you must be doing something wrong. And then you'll see these churches that's just growing by leaps and bounds. But when you see their members, you can tell them no different from anybody that's never known God. And they act like they're really doing something right because their church is growing. You'll find that Christ, when He got to teaching people the way that they should live, they were many of them that turned and walked away from the Son of God and followed Him no more. Why? They didn't want to live that way. You'll find that Christ, though He had a following right while He was here, it wasn't the biggest follower. Why? Because people did not want to live the very way that God said to live. You and I, we preach the Word of God the very way that God wants it to be free. We'll have a few that'll come and want to worship God in spirit and truth, but the biggest majority will reject it. Why? They reject it Christ back then, and they're still doing it today. When it comes to living the way that God said for you and I to live, and anybody that lives the way that God said to live, you'll find these that wants to hold on to the world and walk in the things of sin and call themselves a Christian will use that word, oh, you're preaching legalism or you're preaching works. No. But when your heart's right with God, you will do good works. If your works is still the same as those that's in the world, that shows that's where your heart's at. You and I today, God wants us to come out and be separate. God wants us to live a life to where we're going to upset those around us, where they're going to want to pick up a stone and throw it at you. And you say, oh, how awful that is. If you've got the love of God in your heart, if you're bringing everybody and showing them love, it won't be that way. They'll think well of you. Then they think well of the disciples.
They didn't crucify him because they thought that he was the greatest man that ever wore. They crucified him because he was the life condemned.
In the presence of Christ. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. And He said that if our life is what it should be, it's going to condemn the world and those that we meet. They're going to see Christ in us. And that's going to make them feel uncomfortable. Look in the Bible at the people that come to Christ. They was people that come just out of curiosity. They was people that come to try and get him tangled up and to messed up in what he was teaching them. And they was people that come to receive something. They had a need. They saw that they needed something. And it made no difference where they was the harlot, or they was the person that was a lunatic out of their mind. It made no difference what their need was when they come to God for that need. And they recognized that He was the one that was able to solve it. When they come just reserving nothing for themselves, when they come to Him with that, they found Him able to receive the very thing that they needed. They was able to get the desires of their heart, like the little woman that come and touched the hem of His garment. She come with a need because she would please herself to death. The doctors couldn't do anything. So now she has just a short time to go. But faith works a miracle for her, and she was made whole. The man that was so crazy, they couldn't even keep him chained. No clothes upon him. But when he met Christ, he was in his right mind, teaching people about the wonders of God and what that God could do. So much so that the devil, they didn't want anything to do with God. And this man, Christ told him to go home and tell them what God has done for them up in hell. And the next time when Christ comes through, the whole town turned out to listen to what he had to say. You and I today, God can make a difference if we want Him to. But if we reject, you know, it's amazing at the people that will look back on Israel and think awful because they cried for Christ to be crucified. And do you realize most of the church world today, the life that they live, if Christ was here today, if this was the day and time that He chose to come instead of back then, we would be calling for Him today, the church world, for Him to be crucified. That's who was there crying out there. It wasn't the lost. It was the so-called church world of that day crying, crucify. Because they rejected all the Old Testament that spoke and prophesied of Christ. They rejected it. Do you realize the church world today rejected
the very word of God when he said, come out from amongst the world and be ye separated people. When Christ said, ye must be born again. When he said, ye must endure to the end. And if you don't, you're not going to be saved, because he said, those that endure to the end, the saints shall be saved. You and I today, the church world, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear some preacher tell them, you're a good fellow. You're an honest person. You pay your debt. You're a good moral person. You haven't killed anybody. It don't hurt if you tell a little lie or if you cheat a little bit in business. Cause after all, we gotta get ahead. You and I today, the only way to get ahead is to surrender everything to God. Lay your life in God's hand. Be a Christian 7 days a week. Live the life that God said for us only. Be honest before God. Truthful with all men. And live a life
to where the world can see Christ in us. And if we do, don't expect that we will have the praise of the world. You know, your biggest known preachers in the world, most of them have made a compromise somewhere or another in the Scripture. And a lot of times in their own personal life. You go reading what the Scripture says and you go seeing what their daily life is, and you'll find there's a compromise there. They're not living to the standard. There's preachers that's known the world over and looked upon as being men of God. And yet you take the Word of God and you'll find that their daily life is in violation to the very thing that God called for what that a Christian's supposed to be. Their denomination might accept it because they used to be married to one woman and now they're married to another and they go right on preaching. Their denomination might accept that, but God's Word said no, that's wrong. You and I today, we can accept anything we want to and call it right and say it's okay, but God laid down the standard. God's the one that makes the rule, not me. And he gave them to us in his word. And he said, you and I, we're going to be judged by that. And if it says there that our life is in sin, how do we think when we stand there that we can be judged by that very word and go into heaven? If God called it sin and it's in our life, we'll stand there guilty of sin and undone unless we repent and change right here and be born again of that Spirit. And you and I today, I'm not telling you to live the way that I say. I'm telling you to live the way the Bible says. You and I'm not telling you that what I tell you to do, you got to do. I'm telling you what the Word of God tells you to do, you got to do. There's all kinds of people in this life who will put restrictions and things on you that the Bible don't even have on you. You know, back in the Old Testament, I can show you a place where they went and they offered their children unto idols. And God said, it never even entered into my mind to ask that stuff. God was not even going to ask that of them, and yet they did it unto an idol. You and I today, people will do more to get the praise of man than they will to find favor in the eyes of God. You and I today, Christ come and he taught them exactly what he required. They rejected him. You and I today, are we going to reject the Word of God because it hits home to where we're living? Because it makes us feel uncomfortable? That's why these priests were sick and throw away the destroyed Christ. Because his words, it made them feel uncomfortable. It would tear down the very choices that they had made to live by. They couldn't go on and do the things that they were and be in violation. And Christ was right.
So they had to try and destroy it. But unlike that, they weren't able to destroy it. They thought they knew when they crucified it. They thought when they rolled the stone to the door that it was over with. But that stone was not removed to let Christ out. It was removed to let man in the end to say that he was already cold. You and I today, man cannot prove that God does not exist. Man cannot destroy that the God is shadow. And man will have to give an account before all righteous God. So you and I must come to turn right now.
While we live, what are we going to do with Jesus? Are we going to be in that majority like it was that day that wanted Him crucified, wanted Him done away with? Are we going to be in that majority that refuses and rejects the very way that God said to live? Or are we going to be in that few that's going to enter in? You know, the world would like to think that the majority of people's going to heaven, but they're not. All you got to do is listen to the news, and you'll find people in about any kind of a walk of life that you want to, that when they die, they'll start talking about what a good person they are, and that they're looking down from above, and all of this, like they're still watching over us, and all of this. And yet there wasn't a thing about their life that was holy. You and I today, when we die, if our heart's not right with God, you'll find, according to the Bible, we're going to live for all of eternity a cry in a literal burning lake of fire. And only the ones that will go to heaven are those that's had their sin washed pure and clean, their robe made white in the blood of the Lamb, and kept themselves unspotted from the things of the world. I can't forgive the sin that I do. I can't even clean myself up from it, or the mistakes and shortcomings. But I must go and get on my knees and repent before God. Old Paul said, I die daily. What did he mean? He come back before God each and every day and took inventory. He wasn't going to wait till a year went by to make sure everything was all right. He brought his life daily before God to make sure that we laid himself down to clear that everything was alright. Not that people thought he was a good person, but that God looked upon him as being righteous because his sin was beneath the blood. He repented of his shortcomings, tossed the blood in his heart. When they left him for dead, he gave right back to him and go back preaching unto him again that Christ could save him, Christ could forgive him of their sin. You and I today, God wants us to have that kind of a love.
But to have honesty enough to tell a person whose heart's not right with God that if they make it to heaven, they're going to have to repent and come humbly before God. Christ's life turned a lot of people off. And as I heard in the news, they were talking about the Passion of Christ, that they were bringing it out with some of it cut out because it was so gruesome that some people was turned off by. Well, I don't know how gruesome that you could make it, but if we could see the real thing, God would just pull back the curtain of time and allow me and you to see it upon a screen, the way that the Heavenly Father looked down upon it and what He's seen. And they was treating His Son that knew no wrong.
that were perfect, no sin with him at all. What they done to him, we say that in that movie, whatever that they predicted, unpredicted it of, or had it pictured it being, whatever it wasn't the way near it, man. It's what it really was. Why? Because no matter how bad that he looked, no matter how awful that he looked physically, he also sees my sin, and your sin being laid upon him. That made it even worse. The Bible said, when they looked upon him, he was such a horrible, he couldn't recognize him. But Heavenly Father, when he looked at him, on top of all of that ugliness, with my sin and your sin, that's why we're not going to give up. That's why we must go under that righteous Son of God and ask for forgiveness. That's why we must have that spiritual birth and know that our sin has been forgiven, and that Holy Spirit has taken up its abode in our heart.
Because without that, we're still in our sin, no matter what church we attend, no matter what church we're a member of, no matter what preacher has prayed over us, if that Spirit has never come into our heart and life, and we've never been born again, if we can't get on our knees and pray and feel the warmth of God's Holy Spirit just come down around us, when we need a prayer answered, there's something wrong. And, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, God only hears the prayers of some big, important preacher, or this one, or that one, somebody that's really made a mark. You know, if that's what we believe, we're calling God a liar. Because He said, He come that whosoever will could come. He opened the door for each and every one of us. And when that door was open, and we come, we not only get forgiveness, but He made a way. He said, I sat beside the Heavenly Father to be an advocate for you. You don't have to come and ask me to go pray for you to get a prayer answered. If it's in the middle of the night and you wake up and your soul is burning or there's something troubling you, you can get out off of yourself and go pray. And that Son of God is listening to that prayer. And He may want to take that answer right there to the Father and bring it unto you again. You and I today have brought it down to each individual. That's how it is. We were born again. Each individual, each one of us, there was none of us that had life before somebody else entered the birth canal for us. We had to enter that for ourselves. You cannot be born again unless you get on your knees for yourself and repent of your sin. Nobody else can repent for you. I can pray the sinner's prayer, as they call it, all I want to do. But it to you from a sincere heart, pray that prayer, repent. You'll still die in your sin. And where God is, He said you cannot come. Well, we get some song to sing. If your heart's not right with God, will you repent today? I don't care how uncomfortable the Word of God makes you. I don't care the parts that you don't like to read because you don't feel like you understand it. And it may be because that you think there's got to be a way for you. And if it really means what it's saying there, you're in your sin. I'll tell you, you're in your sin. Because it means exactly what it says there. You and I today, the only way I found out of sin is through a sincere prayer on our knees of forgiveness before God. Till we obtain that forgiveness. Get down there and pray and ask. And it can be obtained. While we sing, will you come?
It's your choice to make whether you want God or not. And if you have never come to the point where you realize that you was on your road to hell, if you've never come to the point where you realize that your life is not what God wanted it to be, I beg you today, look at it and see, are you really a person that as this world would look at it, they'd say you're Christ-like? Are you a person that your daily life is a testimony that reaches people's heart that's in sin? Can they see Christ in you? If not, will you come? While we finish at birth, will you come? Anyone got a word, anything on your heart today? You know, you and I, this is Palm Sunday. We might think, well, if I'd have been there that day, that next week, I'd have been there fighting to deliver Christ. There were some that thought that they would, but they was willing to fight with that natural sword. But when they found out that was not the kind of fight they needed to make, they didn't know how to make the other. You and I today, God wants us to stand with not weapons of man, but with weapons of God, to reach out to the world, to defeat the devil through prayer and through the love and the testimony and a witness for God. We can overcome all that the devil tries.